Now we're inviting you to hear the second part of an interview with traveler and photographer Michal Toma.
I was thinking maybe this is 30 years, this is something special. Maybe it will be a nice try to also document the change, and we decided we can extend the existing exhibition. He was showing through the 80s and 90s on the various places in Czech Republic and Slovak Republic as well. I took about maybe 100 photographs in a small format to Monang, and when I first came to the village, I just was thinking how to start, and I came to some place where some three old men were sitting just praying. And I showed them the photographs, and immediately, after 1 or 2 minutes, I was feeling like the half of village is on the place, and everybody was looking at the photographs and yelling, and they were very happy. At that time, I realized there is more about it, because these people, they hardly had any photographs from that time. So we really brought them the part of the village and personal history.
That is absolutely fascinating, and that is something which you can see in the images in the show, the actual locals reacting, looking at the images that they're being confronted with after all this time. There's an example, I understand, of a famous photograph by your father called Little Devils, where children are playing between houses, one of them has a mask on, and they also recognize themselves. Is that true?
Yeah, it was very interesting, because there was very small girl on the top of the ladder, and she was the owner of the restaurant where I used to have a dinner and meet the people and talk with them about the photographs. And she has seen the photographer many times, but she could not recognize herself. Just after a few days, some neighbors said, "Oh, this is she," and she could not believe at first, but then she realized. And there was many situations like that. The people just recognized themselves, or somebody would recognize them, or they could see probably a deceased mother or dad or grandparents, which they have never seen in their life, because they even didn't have a photograph of them. So it was very interesting.
Can they get copies? It occurs to me. If they want, would they be able to get a copy from the show?
Well, it was not possible. I left photographs with the local NGO, which actually will provide that service, but I don't know if they are started so far. But what we did after I came back home, we decided with my father to produce a brand new exhibition set and bring it to the village itself, bring it to Monang and exhibit it there in the village museum, and keep it there as the permanent exhibition for the museum.
Formally, did you decide to shoot many of the same photographs or many of the photographs from the same angles as your father had?
I was trying to do so, but actually it was not a great success to document the change of architecture. Because in some sense, some places like the new tourist area of Monang, it changed beyond recognition. It was just like a grass or field. And now there are like 2-3-story hotels there. So it's quite difficult to document some change on that, because it is beyond recognition. And the old part of the village, it did change, but the architectural style actually didn't change that much. So it was not possible. If I take 2 photographs like that, you will hardly find any difference. And small differences are there. Some buildings collapsed, but on the same place there is a new building, which is built in the traditional style, so it's hardly to recognize anything.
If we're talking about change, this is a village which is 3,500 meters above sea level, where the local economy was based on the salt trade. Is that completely different today? Is it all about tourists now, for example? Or trekkers?
Yeah, the trekking business is probably the most important. Still, the people, they are doing agriculture works. The most of them, they do have some small fields, which, of course, can produce enough food for whole year. So the people are involved in the tourism in any way they can, and also many of them are just for the part of the year in the Manang, and they of course have their businesses in Kathmandu or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. What is something that really hasn't changed very much? Would it be something to do with local rituals or local beliefs? We mentioned that that ritual or festival, which was held every 3 years, that it was disrupted for a time. Are there things that have resisted?
Well, actually, this is a kind of thing which always happens when the community which is getting modernized. The people who live in town, who actually already did lost their contact with the traditional ways of the life of their parents, they are getting interested in how their original culture really was, and they want to maintain it. So they are coming back to village and they try to learn something from the old people. And such a thing also happened in Manang that the local NGOs just decided they will start this Bade festival again, and it was first held 4 years ago. And now they again repeat it after 3 years, as was the traditional rule. And they will probably maintain this culture for next years. And all the people of the village were very happy because they could not see the ritual for at least 25 years.
So basically a revival and a new appreciation. What is the focus, if you can say it in a nutshell, of this Bade festival?
It's like a Tibetan Buddhist festival. So always there is like a dances, which are actually the repeating the heroic acts of the saints who introduced Buddhism into the Himalayas. So mostly it is like a dance of Guru Padmasambhava, the famous saint of the 8th century, who came and subdued the demons, who turned the demons who were ruling in the valleys into the followers of Tibetan Buddhism. So he turned the evil demons, in fact, into the protectors of the people and protectors of the Dharma. And also it is a political meaning in this festival, because the Manang, it used to be a kingdom, probably in some medieval age, maybe 15th, 16th century. And their kings were later subdued by the neighboring kings, and the neighboring kings were also subdued later by the unifier of Nepal. And at the time, the Manangi people did support the unifier Prithvinarayan Shah in his battles, and so that he were able to get business privileges, which were very important for the development and for the maintaining of some economy of this very otherwise poor village. And they are playing, they are dancing and repeating again the battle in which they did support Prithvinarayan Shah in his battle, and commemorating these events.
Now, back in the Czech Republic, you write articles, you publish your photographs, and I've read that it's become really a family business, because your mother is also involved on an editorial scale, a managerial scale. It must be interesting to work on such intense projects together. How does it all come together?
Oh, well, sometimes it's difficult, you know. Normally when you work in the office, it is just for 8 hours a day, and after that it's over, and just next day you will calm down. When we work together like a family, you know, this is never end. Sometimes we start at the morning and finish at the late evening, and we have heated discussions. And sometimes somebody of us will say, oh, I will not take it anymore. Do it yourself. I'm going to quit. But well, you know, we are a family, and after that, we always find a way.
On my bookshelf, I have a copy of Cesta na Východ by Ivan Březina and Iva Hežmanská. It's a kind of handbook that was published in the 90s here on how to travel in Asia, not as a tourist, but as someone who really wants to get to know the culture, to throw off the Western clothes and habits and food. Now, a lot of people take the leap in their 20s and 30s and learn how to travel in different parts of the world properly, if we use that term. What if you're 40 and you've never done it? Is there still a chance to jump in feet first?
Well, I think it's never late, you know. Ivan Březina's book Cesta na východ is really stunning piece, you know, like he described how to get in India for $100, which was probably really possible in 1990s and probably will not be that much more expensive today. But we have to realize that just coming to some like a foreign country like India and changing your clothes for Indian clothes will not do, really. It is all about the mindset and your openness, and I believe that these things are not that different in your 18 or your 40, or maybe it's even better when you are a little bit more matured, because you will really appreciate, you will understand the values of your own country, and so that you will realize that the values like focus on family, focus on children are quite universal around the globe.
That's very nicely said, and I'd like to end on that note. Thank you so much for coming in, Michal Toma.
Thank you.
Czech traveler and photographer Michal Toma was speaking there to Radio Prague's Jan Fellinger.